Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's Labor Day weekend.
Hey, throw one on the grill for us, will you?
Happy Labor Day weekend.
From Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. It's Sam and Greg. 6 a.m.
Morning.
Sorry about that. 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. If we had one of those cameras in the studio or in our homes where you could see us doing the show, Mr. Crenshaw has got his John Thompson tribute in full effect. Sitting there in front of his his microphone with the big white towel draped over his shoulder doing his John Thompson tribute. Not bad.
That's it. Got to do it this morning.
All right. Well, before as we bring our next guest on here, I want to start off with this. Today is a very significant day in the world of tennis. September 6th was the day. And as I welcome in Karen Pestana, a friend of the show, we haven't talked to her in forever, I want you to answer the significance of this move, a very, very strong statement that needed to be made, and I'm sure she took a lot of stuff for it, obviously at the time being, and worried about her health. But in 1975, on this date, Martina Navratilova came to America to play in the U.S. Open, and while here, asked for political asylum. Did not want to go back home, and this is what started her U.S. citizenship. Imagine what would the tennis world look like had she not done that. Karen, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Yeah, wow, you know, I didn't even realize it was that anniversary today. I remember reading about her defecting at the U.S. Right. Open, but you know, I was way too young to know anything at that time.
Right. Well, no, I understand it, but we remember dates like, you know, when Arthur Ashe did some things, some significant mm-hmm. dates, but I'm thinking that this is as significant as anything because we don't get Chrissy and Martina. I mean, that rivalry carried tennis for the longest time. And by the way, that year in 75, Chris Evert won the singles. Mm-hmm. That was her first one that she had won. But just that, I don't think that's talked about enough because imagine the rivalries that carried a sport. These two played more than anybody else. You talk about, you know, 100 years of the Bears and Packers and Army and Navy and team plays. But as far as individuals, you know, the three Ollie Frasers, you got Magic and Larry, but 88 times. 88 times.
Yeah.
These two
that's
ladies
crazy.
Played at, yeah, exactly. So, again, I want to get your thoughts on that as we get into the U.S. Sam, expect me to come with that knowledge. See, I bring it every once in a while.
I know. I mean, but think about it. They played 80 some odd times. It means they were making the finals against each other every week because they were, you know, the two top tier players there. I mean, it means every other week they were making the finals against each other or playing each other deep in a tournament. That's crazy. That's not going to be repeated. Not ever. I mean, now maybe, let me think now. When you have people like Nadal versus Djokovic or Federer or whatever, maybe they've played 30-some-odd times. No one's going to get to 80-something. That's just nuts. It just shows how dominant Navratilova and Everett were. It's crazy when you think about it.
Yep, mind-boggling. Karen Pestana, Tennis Panorama News, joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline, talking U.S. Open. What a week. And you mentioned yesterday, I think it was just the third time, Serena Williams has played Sloane Stephens, and she had to play three sets to do it. And what does it mean to see not her just win this match, but to win it in three sets at this stage of the tournament, Karen?
Well, Serena started off slowly, you know. The first set, Sloane had her running side to side, back and forth, and Serena, she was having some problems with the first serve. But at that second set, 2-2, Serena was saving break points. And from then on, she just, her serve was in queue, as it were, and she just ran off in 10 of the next 12 games to stop Sloane Stephens. And I think this win, though, comeback win, gives her some confidence, more confidence, especially going into the next match, because she's playing a woman, Maria Sakkari from Greece. less than 2 weeks ago at the quote-unquote Cincinnati tournament at the U.S. Open, because they put the USTA put two tournaments in the U.S. Open bubble. Now, less than 2 weeks ago, Serena Williams was up a set and serving for the match at 5-3, I think it was, against Sakkari, and the wheels just fell off. She couldn't close out the set. They get to a tiebreak. She's leading 4-1, and she just could not close her out. And then the next set, in the third set, it looked like she ran out of gas. And Sakkari just took the final set. I think it was 6-1. So this is a big match coming up for Serena, because she's got to exercise those demons from that match that she had less than 2 weeks ago. We'll see what happens. I think she's in gear, but this is going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Karen Pestana joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I want to ask you about two people, Serena being one, but also Naomi Osaka. How do they look right now as you look at them in comparing to past tournaments? I'm actually going to leave the pandemic out of your assessment, because I figure if they're there, it's not affecting them, and they're in shape and they're ready to go. But the way you've looked at them in past tournaments when they've gotten to the fourth round, those are the two that we're keeping our eye on. Let's start with Serena. How does she look to you overall? Like, she came back against Sloane Stephens, and she got the game. You feel like can get her to the finals?
I think so. I think a lot of it, I mean, I think a lot of it in some way is mental. I mean, she's trying to get that 24th major, you know. She has the target on her back, you know. People don't seem to be as afraid of playing her. Of course they are. I mean, Serena. But now, you know, this is history she's going. I mean, not that it's not historic anyway. She has the most majors in the open era, without question. And she's essentially the greatest women's player ever. But still, she wants that 24. And as far as her play, I think if she gets her first serve in gear, like she did to the last two sets yesterday, and anticipates better and moves, I think she's all right. As far as Osaka, okay. Osaka, I think, in my personal opinion, looks better, even though she's dealing with a little bit of a hamstring injury. She is moving decently, and when her head is in the game, because sometimes it's not, she's just dominant and just moves people off around the court. But I don't know. If I had to pick between the two in terms of winning the tournament, I guess the thing that's bothering me about Osaka is that injury that she has. But if I'm picking mentally at this point, I guess I'm going with Osaka. I hate to make predictions. If they both get there, you know, it's a big if they both get there. This tournament on the women's side, a lot of seeds have been knocked out, and including the top seed. So you just never know. You never know. But to me, I mean, if they headed back to a final, I mean, it would be a really great final. And for Serena, can she get revenge, I guess, on beating Osaka from a few years ago? So, you know, we'll see. That's what tennis. You can only beat who's in front of you, and you never know who's going to win.
Spend his time with Karis Pacena, Tennis Panorama News here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. It's been kind of like a bit of a happy returns. We talk about, you know, Serena and her daughter watching her yesterday. Another mom is still in the field, you know, Victoria Azarenka. Kim Clijsters played this week.
Yeah.
She's 37. She's got three kids. And she was back out there. I mean, so the moms have been well represented at U.S. Open this week.
Oh, yeah. And there's a fourth mom that's in the tournament who's from Bulgaria. She hasn't played on the tour in 3 years, a woman named Svetlana Pironkova. She also has a three-year-old. And what's so funny is that all the moms are in the same half of the draw. Williams, Azarenka, and Pironkova. Yeah, as I said yesterday, with all the moms winning, it was Mother's Day at the U.S. Open.
But let me ask you guys a question about that. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Karen, but let me ask you, aren't you guys surprised at that? We have watched sport after sport have players opt out because they have families. They don't want to go test the waters with this pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're sitting here named off a good four mothers that are participating, and that's not a story to you two guys?
Well, I mean, yeah, I know there are a lot of people opting out because of COVID concerns and all that. It is surprising. I personally would be doing it if I were in that position. However, I guess they feel that they're in a bubble enough that they feel safe. And Serena, she's not staying at the bubble hotel, so to speak. She's rented a house. So she's there with her husband and daughter and whoever. So she's not with the rest of them. I don't know about Azarenka and Pironkova and Nicole Clijsters at one point owned a house in the tri-state area of New York. I don't know if she still does. So that could be part of it. That could be part of it. They're in their own homes and not in one of the hotel bubbles.
US
Open.
And that's what happens when you're at the top of the food chain. The guy on the men's side, who's also got money like that too, rented his $40,000 for the entire time. He spent $40,000 to rent his house. I'm talking about Djokovic. By the way, is it his tournament to lose on the men's side?
Yes, without question. No one is going to be touching Djokovic. Nobody. I mean, the only person that can beat Djokovic is himself, and I don't think that's going to happen. He's just, even if everybody that was in the field were there, like Nadal, Federer, and everybody else who didn't show up, it would still be his tournament to lose. I really believe that. He hasn't lost all year. I mean, he's been perfect. He hasn't lost since, I think it was November of last year. I mean, I don't see anyone beating him. He's the only man left in the draw that's actually won a major, actually. And he's the oldest man in the draw at 33, which is kind of funny to think. I mean,
One thing we do have, Karen, we're not accustomed to having. We got an American men's player playing into the second week.
Yes, the last American man standing, Francis Tiafoe. And he's got a big test in his next match, and that would be last year's finalist, Daniil Medvedev. But TFO's in his news conference yesterday, he said it was pretty positive going into the match. You know, of course, everyone gives themselves a chance in this, and you never know. You never know. And with the courts being a bit faster than normal, than last year anyway, at the U.S. Open, you never know. It may work to his advantage. We'll see. We'll see, because the U.S. Open, you just never know. I mean, the men have been holding pretty much to form, with some exceptions, but you never know. We'll see. We'll see.
Karen, we're up against it. What are you looking forward to this the second week?
Oh, the second week, I want to see how how Serena, Osaka do. I'm looking at those two because, like I said, I really think Djokovic is just going to run through the field next week for the men. So the women are the more exciting ones to watch at this point, because you just never know with them.
And how have you been doing during all this? Everybody good with you and your family?
Yeah, we're all right. We're kind of like in the heart of the zone, so to speak, even though our numbers are totally low now. But it's really weird. This is the first time since I was a little kid that I haven't been on the grounds of the U.S. Open, whether it is as a fan or media. So it's very bizarre for me to be at home covering the tournament and doing Zoom news conferences and things like that. So it's very bizarre, very bizarre.
Well, we thank you for spending some time with us this morning and bringing us up to speed on everything that's happening there. A lot going on, and it could be a lot of suspense and drama in this coming week. But, Karen, we thank you for getting up, spending some time with us. Enjoy the rest of your Labor Day weekend.
Thanks a bunch. Take care, guys.
All right, stay safe, Karen. Yeah, man, listen, you can argue that is one of the most significant rivalries and one of the most untouchable records in sports, not just American sports, in period. That 88 match streak between Chrissy and Martina and how it saved that sport moving forward. So just want to throw that knowledge out
there. Yeah. Oh! Could never do it now. They don't play that many tournaments.
Exactly.
You don't play that many tournaments.
Add that to the list of unbreakable records. Put it up there.
Yeah.
Sam, next. We got up to a slow start, but we're back up and running.
What
it's
we got?
All because we got. It's all because of him. We're gonna meet the producer up next.
all right.
I got some other things for you too, but that is up next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and be sure to check us out on the radio.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.